Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh. Bounce. Yeah. Let it bump, though.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with my man Brad Kellner. More like the speed option or the read option because Katie's on a much-deserved vacation. Old school hip-hop hump day, way back rap Wednesday. BK's been breaking out the jams. We've had some Ghetto Boys, had some Naughty by Nature, that OPP. Mm-hmm. You down with OPP? You know what that means? OPP?
He explains it.
He does.
Multiple times. And it's got different meanings for different groups of people.
Yeah, I think it just means somebody else is like other people's property. Mm. But I think they were talking about like other people's like girlfriends or significant others to start off with. Mm-hmm. Other people's property. It was kind of
Who's down with OPP?
Nobody.
Oh. I thought it was every single lady. That's what I was told.
No, it is. I'm just not keeping up. That's how you know how old I am. Now I can't even keep up with the rap lyrics referenced it these days. All right. You can always watch the Triple Option with RBKD as well. All you got to do is head on over to hornfm.com. You can tap into the Twitch stream there. It's just that easy, and you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You can cyberstalk my man KD at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers. My man BK is at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. All right, I like this article. You sent it to me, BK, from 24/7 Sports, ranking college football's most intriguing one-week games. And actually, cool. I actually didn't know this many good one-week games. It's actually a lot more competitive, sexy week one games than I initially thought.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah. I am so excited for college football this year. I'm always excited for college football, but
this one is kind of a sexy slate.
Well, we get non-conference games back, right?
That's also true. I forgot we did, yeah. COVID.
Some conferences, and the Big 12 was one of those, had a non-conference game, but it wasn't like that sexy blue blood matchup.
Yep.
I mean, Texas was supposed to play at LSU last year.
Oh.
That was one of the worst parts of the entire pandemic.
Man, we were making plans for the 2020 LSU game in 2019
mm-hmm.
with LSU fans.
Dude, I was more excited about the game at Tiger Stadium than I was about the game here in Austin.
I forgot about that.
That game here in Austin was epic, right?
Yep.
That was a fantastic game, unbelievable
awesome.
Atmosphere. But I've always wanted to go to a game in Death Valley. And I was like, dude, I get to see Texas play at LSU? Like, when is this ever going to happen again? I was so pumped. The buddies, we already had our trip planned. We've been planning that years in advance.
Everybody was planning. That was actually going to be a weekend where traffic was going to be pretty seamless throughout Austin because everybody was leaving. Everybody was going to Louisiana.
I-10 was
going to
be an S storm.
It was going to be a traffic apocalypse.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would have been awesome. But I'm pumped. Always love when college football comes back, but yeah, getting the non-conference games, and we've got some very, very attractive non-conference games this year, too. That's going to make it even better.
Yeah, I'm going to start at the top of their list because the Longhorns are closer to the top of this list than the bottom of the list. So I'll start with the top game, what they think is the headliner of all of these week one matchups, and I agree. Georgia versus Clemson in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm assuming this is a neutral site game?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
It'll be at...
In Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Dude, that's... Okay. I mean, that's a top five matchup right there, is it not?
Well, if you're talking about... because they have what they call the blue chip ratio. I believe it's Bud Elliott who does the blue chip ratio. I hope I got his name right. But he does a really good job. Basically, he does the numbers, tries to count all the blue chips on every team and what percentage of their roster is blue chip players. And when he comes up with his final numbers, usually at the top of that list, matter of fact, here, I just pulled it up because I was looking at it during the break because I thought about it. His blue chip ratio for 2020, so he haven't put out the 2021 just yet. So 2020, Alabama, 83% of their roster was blue chip players, 4- and 5-star recruits. Georgia, 82%. That's one of your participants. Ohio State at 80%. Texas at 64%, sadly enough. And then, yeah, Clemson at 63%. So top five in terms of overall talent and blue chip ratio. Yeah, you got two top five most talented universities in terms of football programs right now facing off in that week one matchup.
Dude, it might be an AP top three matchup.
Could be.
Like Phil Steele always releases his projected top 10 well before the college football season. Like he's already released his projected AP top 10 for this year. We're still more than 100 days away from the first week of college football. He's got Clemson number 2 and Georgia number 3.
Wow.
In his AP projected top 10 for this year. So, yeah, top three matchup, neutral site. We're talking about two of the biggest dogs in all of college football, duking it out, hopefully in front of a packed house. That is going to be spectacular.
It's going to be epic. The question for Georgia is, are they ready to unveil their 21st century offense? Are they ready to make the LSU leap, right? LSU was living in the 19th century when it came to their offensive football, and Joe Brady comes in, gives them this infusion of innovation and creativity. They go on with the talent they've always had there, but once it's maximized, weaponized, they win a national championship with it. If you go look at the recruiting rankings over the last 3 years, Georgia has recruited as well, if not better than anybody, except for Bama. And some people would say, based on the projection, they recruited better than Bama. Mm-hmm. The big question has been, what's the offensive identity, and can they get themselves a big-time quarterback? JT Daniels, who transferred from USC, he's got five-star background, but can he start backing that up with some five-star play? I love Todd Monken and his system. He's an air raid admirer from afar, so he's going to bring the spread principles, but can they maximize all that talent within that spread, that hybrid spread scheme? That is the question. The defense, Kirby Smart, it's his defense. We know it's going to be top five, top 10. It is every year.
You know, it's funny. Like, on paper, Georgia should be better on offense than on defense this year.
Because they've been investing in more offense lately.
And they just lose a ton from last year's defense.
Sure.
I think they only have four returning starters. They lose a couple of first-round picks. They lose most of their secondary. But I'm with you. Like, with Kirby Smart, I'm still going to assume that defense is going to be elite. And the question is always going to be, can they figure it out on offense?
Mm-hmm.
Rod, we're more than 20 years into the 21st century. If it hasn't happened now, is it ever going to happen for Georgia? When is this offense going to modernize?
Because the rest of the SEC has already taken the lead. They've already modernized their
offense.
They've
copied the Big 12. The Big 12 modernized it at the very start. Hell, they were modernizing it at the end of the 20th century. And they obviously had this thing down pat by the time the century's turned. There are some teams out there, some powerhouse teams that still haven't figured it out yet.
Michigan.
Michigan's one of them, too.
And I'm waiting on it.
We'll see if Georgia can take that step. But, man, that is...
That's going to be a great one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you. That is... It's going to be hard to top that as you go forward. That, I mean, you said that could end up being a top three matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Top five matchup. Okay, so the next one here, second they have on their list of the best games for week one to start the college football season, Miami versus Alabama. All right, it's right. Nick Saban, the GOAT, versus Manny Diaz. They get Derek King back. Derek King will be the quarterback for Miami. But I don't know. I think this is one of the ones that sounds like it's going to be sexy because it's Miami versus Alabama, the U. But I got a feeling this could end up being a straight-up blowout, an Old Testament-style butt-whipping by Bama. It could be It could be tight for the first quarter. I think that might be it.
Dude, Nick Saban never loses these games.
Nope.
These made-for-TV, neutral-site, opening weekend games against Power 5 opponents. It feels like not only does he win every single one of these, but he wins them by, like, four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe Alabama has some questions. Like, they always lose a million players.
They're losing a lot.
They always lose a million coaches, and they're always the best team in the country. So they'll be fine, and they're usually fine by week one. They're not the type of team that's like, oh, well, because they have to replace so much, it might take them a few weeks to figure it out. Nick Saban's got it figured out already.
But they have six first-round picks on offense alone?
Dude, May Alabama would be 120 of the 127 college football teams in November. Like, without fall practice, without summer conditioning, without learning the coaches
spring
in the schemes.
Spring football Bama.
Without all that. Yeah, spring football Bama would be 120 of the 126 other teams.
You.
At least 120. That's how good they are. So, yeah, I think that'll probably be a beat down.
I'll go farther than that. I'll take the Bama backups. I think they might be pretty damn good because every time he has this draft with six guys drafted in the first round and nine guys drafted overall, they just reload with five-star players. They got five stars coming to Texas because they can't cut it at Bama. And we're like, please, come here. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Ben Davis. We need you very much.
Yeah, we'll take the dirty laundry.
We'll take
the sloppy seconds.
All day, every day,
come
twice on Sunday. All right, the third best game, according to this article from 24/7 Sports, to start off the college football season week one, Penn State at Wisconsin.
Yo.
The Big Ten slate starts off with a banger during opening weekend as Penn State travels to Madison. Wisconsin will likely be ranked somewhere inside the top 20, while the Nittany Lions could be just inside the rankings if media members believe in what James Franklin's team brings back this fall. Sean Clifford, the big Not the big red dog, but Sean Clifford, the big-time quarterback for Penn State, hoping to lead them to a victory in week one.
I call him the little blue quarterback.
The little blue quarterback.
I don't think he's very good, but he's been there forever, so maybe this will finally be the year.
I don't like those kind of guys. Those guys never take the leap. He's been there forever. Well, that ain't good. Either you're good enough to go to the next level, or you're just a baller when you're there. Usually the guy's just been sticking around. Nah, it didn't work.
By the way, were those your words, or were you reading that from the article when you said, the Big Ten slate starts off with a banger?
That's what they said.
Oh, we got like a 12-year-old writing this?
Sorry, I shouldn't have read
it. No, it's not your fault. I was going to get mad at you if they were your
words. If I was using the word banger?
Yeah. To describe a college football game between Penn State and Wisconsin.
I guess it's how the young folks talk. Isn't that how the young people talk?
That's,
a banger?
Yeah, I guess so.
That means a good party, a rowdy, rocking party, right?
Yep.
There you go.
They got a high school intern putting together articles at 24/7 Sports, apparently. No, that's great. I mean, look, I love the non-con games, but a conference matchup like this, week one, I mean, I assume both of these teams are going to be ranked.
Yeah.
Camp Randall Stadium, one of the best atmospheres in all of college football, sort of a mini rivalry type of game. That's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm excited for that. Like, I prefer the non-con bit week one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want Texas to always play
I'm
a non-conference opponent
like
week
that.
One.
Yeah.
But I like that there are some conference games around the country week one.
Nothing wrong with mixing up, but I'm with you. I prefer the non-con. Because I almost like if there are two separate seasons to me. I don't mind playing a big dog, some big blue blood in the non-con, which is what Texas is doing for the next few years, which I love. And then if I lose, all right, I lost. I flew too close to the sun. You know, it's all good. But I still get to keep my conference hopes alive.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I like that instead of having the big-time conference game like early on where you would have those non-cons.
Yeah, my take is so selfish, right? Because, yeah, selfishly, if Texas loses a game early, I still want them to be able to win their conference.
Yeah.
But selfishly, as a fan, I want to watch some conference games because conference games are awesome.
They are awesome.
You can get like a rivalry game in
week
one.
So, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad Texas is not doing that, but that'll be a fun one to watch.
Speaking of Texas, Texas makes the number four game on this list of week one headliners to start off college football season. Louisiana at Texas, BK. Here is the write-up here. It says, Steve Sarkisian won't start his Texas tenure with a loss to Louisiana, will he? One thing is for certain, the Longhorns won't take the raging Cajuns lightly, given what Billy Napier's program has been able to accomplish over the past two seasons. An upset win over Texas would certainly make poll voters and the playoff selection committee turn their head towards the group of five ranks and could go a long way in determining Louisiana's New Year's Six hopes. Yeah, considering they came to the Big 12 country and beat up on Iowa State last year, who went to the Big 12 title game, they're not going to take anybody by surprise. Everybody knows Louisiana's going to be good.
Raging Cajuns.
Raging Cajuns.
They're a better mascot in college.
No,
sports.
That's pretty damn good.
That is spectacular.
Man, good.
As Texas fans, we can't take Louisiana lightly, can we?
No way.
I mean, we can't take anyone lightly, right?
Yep. No way.
I don't care who it is. With what we've seen from this football team against inferior competition over the last decade, we shouldn't be taking anybody lightly, but especially this Louisiana team. You mentioned it. They went into Ames, Iowa, and put a whooping on Iowa State. And that was a shorthanded Louisiana team, too, dealing with COVID to start the year. And they ended up beating the second-best team in the Big 12. They won 10 games a season ago. And, man, I know their head coach, Billy Napier, has had September 4th circled on his calendar for a long time.
He wants it bad, BK.
That guy.
He wants it bad.
Think about where he is now. He's at Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
That guy got offered the Auburn job.
Yeah, he did.
An SEC West job. One of the better, I won't say best, one of the better jobs in the country.
It's one of the, it's a blue blood. It's a blue blood job.
Auburn.
Auburn's a blue blood.
Okay.
They are.
I know you don't want to believe that.
I know. Really?
I don't think you're alone in that take.
I'm not saying that they are like ball. It's like saying Tennessee's not a blue blood. They're just not now. They just suck now. But they still, at one point, blue blood.
I won't throw Auburn in there. You're nicer than me.
Okay.
But look, regardless, still a way better job than Louisiana. Still a great job in the SEC. Billy Napier turned that down. And it didn't take me long to figure out why. He thinks he can beat Texas. And he thinks he can have a better year than he had last year. And he thinks that he can get a better job than Auburn. This dude's not long for Louisiana.
Mm-mm.
It's not his life goal to remain at Louisiana. He's not going to Bill Snyder this thing and stay there forever. He wants a bigger job. And he thinks he can get a bigger job. And he's had this Texas game marked down. If I go beat them at their place, Auburn, nothing. I'll be getting jobs I'll be getting calls from better jobs all across the
country. Well, LSU will fire Ed Orgeron.
Maybe LSU.
That's basically what I think that's LSU. That's one he's waiting on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's already got the local ties.
That's the one he's waiting
on. So, yeah, he's got this game marked down, and Louisiana's not going to be taking that one lightly. That's going to be tough for Texas.
Yeah.
And I think this writer is right, right? You probably don't hear a lot of national buzz surrounding this game, and you probably won't hear it considering how many other good games there are week one of the college football season.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a sneaky good game.
I don't even know if it's sneaky because I think Billy Napier has done a hell of a job. You're right. They've been trying to get him out of there for a long time. And his coaching staff has been raided like twice already. Mm-hmm. They've already posted a few coaches from him. Yet 7-7 in 2018, 11-3 in 2019, 10-1 last year, including that win over Iowa State. And I think you're right, BK. I think he saw Texas on that schedule coming up and said, I take down Texas. I mean, my phone will be ringing off the hook. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to name my price. Oof. And I'll be picking between blue bloods,
yeah,
different blue blood schools.
So I mean, teams like that are usually motivated coming into Austin, yeah, Texas, but Louisiana is going to be about as motivated as you could possibly be.
Well, I think he knew also kind of what you're bringing up, that he had a great opportunity to have a team just as good. He's bringing back his quarterback. He's got a senior quarterback coming back, Levi Lewis, who had 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, but averaged over 6 yards per carry and 5 rushing touchdowns. They return every last one of their receivers. They return 6 out of the 7 O-linemen who played significant time. They return all but one defender who played more than 50 snaps. The whole damn team comes back. They're top 5 in terms of returning overall production in the country. And Billy Napier has built a hell of a culture. Then he's a damn good football coach. So I think that Texas has a better chance of losing that game versus Louisiana than they do of losing to Arkansas. Like, some people are scared of that game. And honestly, in Louisiana, that game scares me a little bit, considering Texas, and I know it's Tom Herman's tenure, but Texas did lose their opener 2 years in a row.
You could make a strong case for Louisiana being the third best team on Texas's schedule this year.
They'll be ranked, that's
for sure.
They're
not better than Oklahoma. They're not better than Iowa State, even though they beat Iowa State by multiple scores last year.
With COVID issues. Some COVID opt-outs.
So, hell, maybe you can make an argument they're the second best team on Texas.
It's crazy, man.
So don't overlook those guys, man. Those Cajuns who rage, they're going to be ready to roll.
No doubt about it. Speaking of being ready to roll, NASCAR returns to COTA this weekend. How about that? That means there'll be plenty of Bud Light flowing out at COTA this weekend. It'll be a hell of a party out there. You can get your tickets at the CircuitOfTheAmericas.com. Be sure to stock up on Bud Light, Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Seltzer for the weekend. It's time to get over the hump and headed down here to the weekend. Nothing can do that for you like Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time and the world's number one selling light beer. You also, if you can't get out to your local grocery store, a convenience store to stock up on all the Bud Light products you love, like Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Seltzer, and the Bud Light Original, you can order from Drizzly and have Bud Light delivered right to your door. That's part of the reason I love Bud Light. It fits any occasion, especially those sporting occasions. So this weekend, when you're cheering on your favorite soccer team, like the Austin FC, they will be in action Sunday, taking on the Nashville SC. While you're cheering on the Austin FC on the road at home, make sure you're doing it with the world's number one selling light beer, Bud Light. Bud Light is my choice, and it should be yours too. All year round, Bud Light is America's beer of choice and the world's favorite light beer.
All right, real quick, Rod. Number 5 on this list, best games, or at least most intriguing games of college football's opening weekend, LSU at UCLA.
Chip Kelly.
Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, it does, because I've been waiting on Chip Kelly to make a move here. Is he ready to take the next step? Are we going to see the Chip Kelly of old at Oregon, or is this going to be the Chip Kelly that everybody's been mocking for the last 5, 6, 7 years or so? Is he the offensive genius that we all know, or is he just a joke now and a shell of himself? I'm ready to see which one he is.
Yeah, for me, that's two games or two coaches that are going to be fired at some point this year.
Both. Oh yeah. You see, LSU.
And the only question is who gets fired first, and it's probably the loser of this game.
Oh, what is the quarterback from Hutto that's with Chip Kelly at UCLA now?
Chase Griffin.
Is he starting?
He's not.
Damn it!
They still have Dorian Thompson, Robinson, Johnson, Stevenson.
He's got one of those guys,
yeah,
there with the five first names.
I think he's only Dorian Thompson Robinson, but for some reason I feel like he should have like two or three more last names in there. It's a lot for a jersey. There might be Robinson Thompson. I don't know. He's been there for a while.
I don't think any of these other games do it for me, honestly. There's a Notre Dame at Florida State.
Yeah.
Like that?
I mean, 20 years ago I did.
Exactly. Ohio State at Minnesota. Like that?
I like boats.
Row the boat.
Yep.
North Carolina at Virginia Tech.
Okay. I dig that.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I like that. You're right. That should be a competitive game.
Yeah.
Louisville versus Ole Miss.
Okay, I'll watch it, probably.
Actually, this one's kind of intriguing. Boise State at UCF.
Very intriguing.
Because I want to see at UCF what Gus Malzahn's going to do there.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Yeah. Well, actually, every coach, yeah, the last two coaches have had a lot of success at UCF, though. Josh Heupel and then, what's my boy from Nebraska?
Frost.
Thank you, Scott Frost. I like him. He's a Nebraska now.
All right, so there's some intriguing matchups. Week one of the college football season. We are 108 days away from September 4th, Texas and Louisiana. Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we're talking drugs in the BK Lounge. That's next.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
All the bandits!
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. May 19th, 20 and 21 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner in this edition of the BK Lounge. This is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. A couple of housekeeping measures to take care of before we dive into today's content. First of all, shout out to Andrew.
Shout
out. The winner of our Rangers-Astros ticket giveaway. He picked up a pair of tickets to see the Rangers take on the Astros this Saturday at the Guelph in Arlington.
Nice.
If you missed out today, don't worry, we've got you. Tomorrow, we'll have another pair of Jers Stroh's tickets for you tomorrow afternoon. Also, Bucky and Aaron in the mornings will have a couple of pairs over the next 2 days as well. So keep it locked into the Horn all day long. What's the other housekeeping note? Oh, did you see this video? I just retweeted this from the Horn. This was pretty funny. Zay tweeted out a video of his dog.
I did see that, yeah.
And the caption was, when I told the homie Champ that they low-key tried to blame him for Deuce Gates. And it's just a video of his dog barking at his place.
He's like, not me, man, not me.
It wasn't me.
Mm-mm.
I didn't take a crap in the Horn studio over the weekend. No, that was not me.
He's got a big dog, too.
Big dog.
Yeah, that's a big dog. So we know it was a small dog.
I think we know exactly who did it, too.
Yeah, I think we got to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. BK Investigates, another successful, and there's been a lot of people that want BK Investigates to come back as a regular segment on the Horn.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just saying, saw some people on Twitter talking about it. That's a,
people like my bits?
People like that bit when you were doing it, though, when you worked with Trey. BK Investigates was a hit.
I look at the text line and I look at my Twitter timeline.
Got
everyone's
nothing?
Ragging on me all the time.
That's because people like to hate.
I'm thin-skinned, man. I can't handle
that. That ain't true.
No, that is the furthest thing from the truth. All right. By the way, third housekeeping measure. I haven't asked you about your ankle. How's the ankle today?
Oh, it's good, man.
I'll be running. Your shoe and your sock off. So
I'm icing.
You still got the ice? You got the Yeti cooler in there?
Still got the Yeti cooler.
Gross, dude.
Yeah. So I've been icing it for the last 2 days. I'll probably be running next week. I'm serious.
Unreal.
It's amazing, man, how quick that ice works.
I have no ankle problems, and I will not be running next week. I can tell you that. All right, how about this? We're talking drugs today, Rod B.
I'm a fan. Give me some drugs. Come on.
We've got you on tape.
Give me some drugs.
Saying that you are quite fond of the drugs.
I don't even know what context that came from. But
I don't remember, but it happens.
It did happen.
It happened. How about this? Two UK men were reportedly busted this week for running a weed distribution operation out of an abandoned bingo hall.
Okay. Abandoned bingo hall. It must have been a big weed operation.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need the whole hall?
South Yorkshire seized more than 2,000 marijuana plants at Gala Bingo.
All right. That's why they needed a big bingo hall then. Mm-hmm. 2,000 plants?
2,000 marijuana plants.
Man.
The men have not been identified. They were 29 and 38, so we get their ages but not their names. And police used a chainsaw to get into the vacant building, or at least they thought it was vacant. So this was a bingo hall that shut down due to COVID. So, right, it used to be a place where
people would gather together for social events, you know, and things of that nature.
Regardless of COVID, how are bingo halls doing in the year of our Lord 2021?
Outside of COVID, they were doing really well. That's one on the east side here in Austin that used to have, I think it was either BYOB.
Oh, that's smart.
They either had BYOB.
Bring your own bingo or bring your own?
I think it's bring your own beer.
Okay.
And then they had one that was like really cheap beer. Like it was like really cheap beer. And I know a lot of young people that would go play bingo. And
young people?
Yeah, and take advantage of the cheap beer and bingo.
There's plenty of places you can get cheap beer at. You just don't have to play an old man's game.
Some people like bingo.
Come on.
And people like to yell out bingo.
You got to be above like 60 years old to like bingo. Those are the rules.
I always remember having fun during bingo, though.
Oh,
I never played bingo and was bored.
Were you playing with old people and you were just trying to be nice to them?
Probably.
Were you like volunteering or something?
I probably was also drunk during bingo.
Yeah.
I never played bingo sober. That's
no,
sure.
Dude. Like when I turn 60, I'll like bingo. You're not allowed to like bingo before you're 60.
And you'll probably be smoking marijuana too.
Yeah,
so
you're damn
legalized,
right.
Though. Legalized.
Yeah, it's true. Police used a chainsaw to get into the vacant building. They raided this building because they were tipped off that there might be weed in there. And sure enough, 2,000 marijuana plants.
They smelled it then. Somebody smelled it walking by.
That had to have been it.
If it's 2,000.
There's no way you could conceal that.
Because, sometimes they have, I don't know why I know this, but you have different ventilation systems for people who have, like, mass amounts of marijuana plants.
Mm-hmm.
So the ventilation systems will subdue the smell.
I think they had that in the bingo hall.
No way.
Well, old people do smell pretty bad, so maybe it's, let's get these ventilation systems in for bingo.
Smell like mothballs.
Well, that's amazing. I got to reach out to some friends and see if any of them are ever playing bingo, because I just figured it was all old to go there, and I also figured that just bingo halls were never that exciting.
They probably aren't, but I do remember a BYOB bingo hall.
Mm.
So that's
about
legit.
That. All right, on to the next BK Lounge drug-related story of the day. A JetBlue flight from New York to San Francisco was forced to make an emergency landing in Minneapolis after a passenger was allegedly seen snorting a white substance.
Oh. Seen? Were they in the bathroom and somebody barged in on them?
So apparently it wasn't just a white substance being snorted. This guy was also sexually harassing a woman. So it was a number of crimes this guy was committing while in air. Mark Anthony Scurbo.
Oh, that's a shady name.
42
Mark
years
Anthony
young.
Scurbo?
Of Mechanicville, New York? Is that a real city?
This guy's shady.
Mechanicville?
He's not the only shady person from Mechanicville. I can rest assured.
Well, if you get out of Mechanicville, you're going to end up at Jiffy Lube. So congrats to you.
Mechanicville.
This guy was arrested Sunday at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport on suspicion of drug possession. So he was aboard Flight 915, which actually took off at 9:20. Unfortunate there, which departed from JFK Airport. It was forced to divert to Minneapolis, quote, after a customer on board began acting erratically and aggressively toward crew members and other customers, end quote.
Oh, he was harassing everybody, not just
And this guy
woman.
Reportedly made several trips to the bathroom and also made stabbing motions toward the passengers and was seen snorting a white substance. So not only was he snorting
in the,
you assume he was going to the bathroom
break
to do the drugs.
To do the drugs.
But he was also in plain sight.
Doing the drugs.
Doing the drugs, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Snorting a white substance. And when they landed and kicked this guy off the flight, they apparently found a bag of white substance by his seat, too.
And do we indeed know that it was cocaine? Because it's a hell of a drug.
We do not know if
we don't
it was
know.
Cocaine.
Okay.
We just have white substance.
White substance. I'm trying to think of what else is white that people snort. I'm sure there's other stuff out there, but
yeah, so there was cell phone video
shot.
Have
you ever snorted meth?
Have I ever snorted meth?
What does that do? People snort meth.
Okay, I have, to answer
Isn't there
your
a
question.
Way,
it was like last Tuesday.
people snort meth, though, right?
Yeah, you can snort meth.
It's white, isn't it?
Oh, depends.
Depends on what kind of meth it is.
If Walter White is.
If it's blue, then, right?
making your meth, then it's a different color.
I just lofted that softball up for you. You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I appreciate that. That's one of the few shows that I actually have seen.
It's a great show.
It's a rarity where I can make a TV show reference. Oh, it's the best show ever.
It's awesome.
I mean, I haven't seen 1% of the shows ever made, but
you saw a damn good one.
I'm confident that I can say it's the best show ever made.
It's one of them.
So, question here. So, by the way, cell phone video was shot by another passenger, and you can overhear. The audio wasn't good enough to have for the show, but you can kind of overhear a crew member explaining to people that the suspect had allegedly touched a female passenger and was refusing to wear a mask. So that was how they explained it to the rest of the passengers, why they were making an emergency landing. My question to you is,
touching people these days without their consent?
Of course you can't. But is that reason to make an emergency landing?
Well, because he harassed
Maybe the combination
woman?
Of all of these things.
I think it's a combination.
The drugs, the harassing of people, the not wearing a mask. Yeah. Like, okay, maybe the combination of things, like, that's too much to overcome. But, like, any of those things individually. Like, if some guy is on an airplane just snorting cocaine in plain sight, or even if it's in the bathroom and somebody catches him just doing lines in the lavatory, is that a reason to make an emergency landing?
In itself, probably not.
Okay. Like the harassment? Like, are any of those things? Because I feel like harassment, you move the guy or you move the person
Maybe
who's
it was
being
a full
harassed.
Flight. Maybe
you switch seats.
I guess you can switch. You know what? If he's harassing one woman, you don't want to sit him next to another lady. He's going to harass
her,
too.
Well, not a lady. You sit him next to, like, an old guy. Or you sit him next to, like, a yoked dude who is clearly, that guy's not going to mess with him.
Find the most swole guy on the plane.
Exactly.
Be like, hey, guy, we need you to keep this a-hole under control.
You want to mess with me? See what happens. See what happens.
There used to be rumors that, remember, post 9/11, there were, like, these air cop, like, these, you know what I mean? Like, the police.
ERCOT, the people we hate?
Basically, like, police officers and federal agents on planes.
Interesting.
Remember post 9/11, there was always people, there's a federal officer on this plane. A federal officer on every flight, they're just in plain clothes and you can't see them.
Okay.
That is obviously not the case, because if so, then they would have detained this a-hole.
Yeah.
So maybe it was back in the day, but it definitely is not the case anymore.
Yeah, because that, like, man, I'd be pretty ticked if I was on this flight. Dude, for me, like, it has to be a real emergency for me to be okay with an emergency landing. And this would not qualify.
So you would be actually upset about them having the emergency landing more than the guy harassing, doing drugs, and being a total a-hole.
Sorry. A lot of people feel that way. I'm willing to admit that I feel that way. You're telling me
Somebody on that plane felt like you.
You're telling me a guy's doing drugs and we're making an emergency landing? This guy should be getting free flight vouchers for having the balls to do something like this.
He was trying to be discreet at first, and I wonder what happened as to why he started just snorting the drugs in front of people.
Bad bit.
I don't condone
that bit, but it ain't worth making an emergency landing for.
Somebody should have stepped up, you're right. One of those citizens should have stepped up and punked him. But then you run the risk of it being a fight on a plane.
Yeah.
Which would be really fun, but also very dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? Because then if he starts fighting, then you start fighting, and who's going to break up the fight on a plane?
Well, fight to the death.
Exactly. Well, then you could fight, and then somebody gets pushed into a lever or one of those things.
Open up the door.
Yeah, like, dude, that could be so dangerous.
If there's a flight
on
the plane, someone has to get thrown off. Those are the rules.
No, man.
Those are the rules.
That would scare me. Remember on, was that Seinfeld, where they started, like, Kramer starts jumping on the plane, the last episode?
Mm-hmm.
They have the plane malfunction at the time. I don't know. You're right. I always thought maybe a citizen's arrest would work. Like, a citizen should just stand up and be like, dude, we're going to subdue this guy.
For sure.
And then until we land, we'll work it out.
This one random 42-year-old guy, like the other 200 people on this plane, could keep him in check.
You need somebody to be swole, like you said.
Yeah.
And they don't have a swole person on the flight. He needed somebody with him, though. He was alone.
Yeah.
If you have, like, a friend with you or your significant other, they can also try to, you know, neutralize and de-escalate the situation.
Yeah, that's true. So there you go. There's the BK Lounge. A couple of drug-related
Cocaine's
stories.
A hell of a drug.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And we'll try with weed plants in a bingo hall. Now they ruined it for everybody. Now I can't try that. That's a huge bummer. That was where I was thinking of.
That wasn't a very good idea. That wasn't a very bright idea anyway.
Not with 2,000 plants. You can't be out anywhere with that. All right, there's the BK Lounge. When we return, we will wrap up the show and tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are done for the day. Last segment of the show. Before we get out of here, we got to let you know what's on tap for tonight. I think it's pretty obvious for me and BK what's on tap. The western side of the play-in tournament. Specifically, LeBron and the Lakers versus Steph and the Golden State Warriors.
Dude.
It's going to be sick. I'm excited, actually. I have not been this excited about the NBA all year long.
This might be the most watched non-finals playoff game all year.
Oh, you might be onto something.
Like including the conference finals. I think more people are going to be watching this game tonight.
You might be onto something.
Any conference final game. The fear is it does start at 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
So some people may not stay up that late. Yeah.
But man, if you're a basketball fan, or hell, if you're just a sports fan, you don't have to be a basketball junkie. You're going to watch this game.
No, I think, like, my woman asked me about this game.
Wow.
Like, so that's how I know it's big. When I get the, because she asked me about, like, really big-time playoff games, deep into the Major League Baseball postseason. She's like, oh, is the World Series on? Let's make plans for NFL playoff games. She brought up this game. So I was like, when my woman brings up a matchup, a sports matchup, that means it's must-watch television.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
It's appointment viewing.
9 o'clock tonight. The Spurs and Grizz are underway at the FedEx Forum in Memphis. An early 9-4 lead for Memphis, only 3 minutes in. So obviously plenty of time for the Spurs to...
That could get out of hand. I can see that getting out of hand. Not blowout like the Eastern Conference play-in games were, but I could see Memphis winning that game in a decisive, commanding fashion.
Okay, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Memphis is going to win, but
they'll stay close. The
Spurs have too much pride.
They do have a lot of pride.
They got too much playoff experience. I just don't think it's going to happen. Could be DeRozan's last game in San Antonio. But I wonder what the Spurs are going to do this offseason. I know Spurs fans aren't ready to think about that yet, but
Is
Pop done?
That's the question.
And at some point, you've got to just fully embrace the rebuild. Like, being where the Spurs are right now is not a good spot.
Embrace the suck, huh?
Yeah, you're in purgatory right now because you're not in the lottery. And, hell, even if you barely miss the play-in tournament, you're still not likely getting a very good draft pick. So it's hard to really improve your team that dramatically in the draft. And, yeah, you're not good enough to be competing for championships. Mm-hmm. So this is a bad spot. Now, the Spurs were in a damn good spot for nearly two decades. It's fitting that they finally get to experience what some other teams experience. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason down in the Alamo soon.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the middle class of the NBA. Being in the middle class of the NBA is worse than being in the middle class of America, because I know in America, upward mobility is scarce and rare, but there's almost no upward mobility in the NBA. It is ruled by the aristocracy. And if you're not one of those elite aristocratic organizations that always competes for the title, then you basically want to be bad so you can get the best talent available in the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, being the middle class in any sporting league is not good.
It's not good.
But you're right. The NBA, sometimes it's really tough to get out of that hole. Yeah. Four playoff hockey games, baby.
All right.
This is such a great time of the year. I mean, the playoff basketball, playoff hockey, Major League Baseball, college baseball.
All your screens in your house.
Dude, I don't know.
How many of there? Six in your house?
It's not enough. I need six more. I got to call Tom McKay. And
do you have one
in
your
screens.
Bathroom?
Not yet. My bathroom's pretty small. It'd be tough. It'd be tough to pull that one off.
I can see you doing it, though.
Yeah. And then we got some baseball tonight. Stroh's back at it in Oakland.
Go Stroh's!
Another West Coast game. Tough loss last night. A walk-off loss. So Houston now a game and a half behind Oakland, but still a couple more in that series.
That's right.
And we've got Fight Night coming up next here on the Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Ooh,
that.
Nice. Eventful evening here on the Horn, so keep it tuned in. If you miss any part of this show or any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com. You can check up on the podcast page, and you can catch up on any of the content you may have missed. I do want to thank my man BK. He's the real MVP. I want to thank Jared Sandler for joining us as well. And I want to thank all you guys out there for listening. You are the most important part of the Triple Option, and we really mean that. We appreciate you guys. Everybody be safe out there in case some storms roll in. Be safe. Turn around. Don't drown. Everybody join us tomorrow. Same time, same place. I love you guys. We love you guys, and we mean that. Peace.